You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. Symbiotica.com.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Next week's 10:51 club meeting has been moved to 10:55.
Unacceptable. From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis, Heroes here, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler, and I kid you not, got another screenshot today from the woman to my right of her GPS navigation. And what does it say? Exactly 10:51, 10:51 club.
Every time, forever. Every week. It's so consistent at this point. No matter what time I try to leave my house, every time I do leave, I'm arriving at 10:51.
I love all the nicknames that you have, but the woman to my right is my new favorite.
Yeah.
What's inaccurate?
I'm going to be asked to be fonted that way.
Tell me the
lie.
Hello. Yes. This was our, for the third time in 2 weeks, because of Mark, we had picture day this morning.
Yes.
I think it's a blessing.
I mean, the butterfly effect of Sessdog going to see his dentist named Crentist is still affecting the entire crew.
Took my son to the dentist. I myself didn't just schedule a dentist appointment out of thin air during a shoot. No.
Mark, I'm loving this look. It's giving a little Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, it's like, I like to have fun. I can party. I'm going to go to an island, but I'm also here for business, and I love it.
You would think that that's a compliment.
No, it
there's
is.
A lot of things
really
going
like
through
it.
Right
no,
it's like
it's super fun.
No, like I literally was like trying to imagine a period of my adult existence where I less wanted like official photos that are going into the company, you know, photo bank apparently, for all time. Like of me taking.
No, it was even more ominous. It was these photos need to be taken for marketing reasons. What is that?
Why is that ominous? I don't. It's marketing.
What does that mean?
I don't like.
It's so all encompassing.
Yeah.
I feel like it'll have the same breadth as our last pictures, which feel like didn't have a lot of pop. Can't remember them making a big impact. In
Greg going
in
down
our
the
lives.
Has no meaning.
Nothing matters.
Again,
so. Yeah. Did you do prom photo style?
I do like the Mark.
We did a lot.
Mark became the change he wanted to see. For years on this show, he complained about male fashion, and now he's leading the way.
Everybody eventually.
That's it right there.
Turns.
I thought our photographer was very encouraging. I'd say that. She kept telling us we looked great. It was obviously.
It was great.
There's Lord always a through line, too. Like, when all of a sudden a grown man's fashion changes, there's usually something or someone behind it.
Mm. Well, we've seen that on the show multiple times.
Just Levi, when he shows up, that is a timeline changer.
I love Levi.
Yeah. I suggested, because we did a group shot, and I said, I know what's going to happen here. Greg's going to do the Greg outfit, which is like bomber jacket and T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bomber jacket.
And then Mark is going to do the Mark outfit, which is like Oxford collared shirt and blazer. And then whatever I wear is going to make the other person, you know, standalone. So if I do something Greggy, like Mark is all of a sudden looking too stuffy. If I do the same thing as Mark, then Greggy's, you know, look at me. I'm the side of Walgreens. I'm the cool guy of the group. So I had to reach out to the group and say, maybe we should coordinate to be similarly casual. Yeah,
but
or similarly
typically,
dressed
you did
up.
It after we were already here.
Amazing. That's right. The most damn thing that's ever happened.
Right.
What? What?
By then, it's too late. We were already here.
What do you mean?
You said the 30 minutes before we got there.
Greg and I understand
we
that
have
you
to have, drive further.
You yes. have an immense responsibility.
Yes.
We understand that. And yes. you fulfilled it today with your questions.
And Levi is here. I'm looking at him right now.
Oh, my God. He's in the studio
live. But he wasn't used.
Yeah. No.
It was Ryan Fitzpatrick Flamingo album.
I'm into it.
I like it. I
Everyone
it up,
should just so. Feel comfortable in what they
Greg,
wear.
Greg, once again, right? God, it's so good to have Greg here.
Life coach.
If only Greg could always be around.
I just mean
to tell us the way things should be seen.
It's just
and the
my
way
opinion.
To feel.
Okay, well, we all have different opinions. You sent it while we were on the way here, though. At that point, it's too late. I would have changed.
If Tugboat could have just showed up as Tugboat, what right, would yeah. he have worn? Would you have gone in a different direction?
I brought both. Because we also have a dressing area.
Yeah, you're versatile.
You well, made a change, actually, after the group
I did, because I had to retake my original photos because I was too sweaty for the first round. Way too sweaty.
They had a fan this time.
Yeah, and they had a fan, which was nice.
Common man rankings plunging.
Like a Mariah Carey
diva
fan?
Behavior, yes.
Love it.
You have to be the most annoying person I've ever met.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yes.
Let's get to the show. Let's start with fearless predictions of the rest of the regular season. All right, so this is pretty straightforward, Connie, right?
Mm-hmm.
The final 3 weeks of the regular season. Let's throw out some fearless ass predictions about what's going to happen. How will this all play out? And this season especially, it's going to be difficult. Because it's a weird season. I'll get us going.
It has to be regular season.
Yes.
Okay. Turning on a dime here.
What did I write?
I don't know. I created something different, but I can still use it.
I mean, yeah, some of mine encapsulate what's going to happen at the very end of the regular season, but that's fine.
Did anybody prepare for the show today?
I did.
I did. I've already adjusted my entries.
All right. Here we go. Fearless predictions for the final 3 weeks of the regular season, as laid out in my text yesterday. I'll start here. Buffalo Bills are going to win the AFC East. I don't think they lose again. That is at Chargers, home Patriots, at Dolphins, and then the Dolphins have, so they're 8-6. And the Dolphins are obviously 10-4, so they got two games. But their schedule is a little trickier. They have, they look at it here, home Dallas, at Baltimore, and Buffalo. So I do think that the Bills and Dolphins fans are going to be annoyed, but I do just trust the Bills. And I did try to figure out this, you know, how to look at these last 3 weeks. Not to get sucked in by recency bias. It's hard, though. But it's also, this is 3 weeks. And I think the Bills are playing as good as any team in the league lately. So I think they're going to pull it off. And I think the Dolphins have a stumble in them.
Basically, you're predicting the Dolphins win in week 18. I mean, the Bills win in week 18. Because very likely, I don't think it's a hot take,
right.
That is for the division. Because of the Bills' schedule, they're playing patsies that have just given up, basically, until then. And if you're a Dolphins fan and you have home Cowboys at Ravens, you'd be happy with 1-1. I mean, of course you want to be 2-0, and it's not going to feel good if, let's say, you beat the Cowboys this week, then you lose the rate. Like, that night, it's not going to feel good, or if it's reversed that night, it's not going to feel good. But you're playing two of the very best teams in the NFL. You are really testing yourself. Splitting those two games, to me, would be great for Miami. They would include their best win of the season, and then it comes down to week 18, that matchup. You know, early in the season was one-sided, and you're saying the Bills are a little more complete. I would like to see that matchup with the division on the line. What a great Sunday night football.
I feel like the Bills went on this crazy journey where, like, everything felt kind of lost about 10 days ago, 14 days ago, where, like, the coach is offering up 9/11 takes, sort of problematic. And, like, it felt like the Bills...
That was in 2019, but it was...
Well, no, but it was brought up now and, like, had to respond to it. And there was also, like, a heat-seeking think piece about the fact that no one in the organization kind of believes in him and he's taking them in strange places.
Yeah.
But then you go and do this against the Cowboys, and it's like, this version of the Bills makes me believe in what you just said, that it's possible. I do know that there are a lot of people... that listen to the show that think that Dan is very down on the Dolphins. It's not because of your Jets fandom
it's
necessarily.
Not really.
But, but people just feel that maybe that's
required.
I think what you're actually saying is that the Bills, at their highest power, can do exactly what you
do. You are down on the Dolphins, but that's fine.
No, I'm saying I am down on the Dolphins, but it's not really because I like the Jets. It's because they've been tested multiple times this year and failed them against big opponents, and now they have another big crucible situation here. And I'm just curious, but even if they lost both Dallas and Baltimore games and Buffalo wins twice, it still comes down to week 18.
Right. Like, I don't know what they have now numbers for all this stuff. It's like the odds that that game is for the division is very high. Is very high.
Well, I first was kind of turned on to this when Steve Kornacki did on Sunday Night Football.
Kornacki.
He had his board and he was talking about the Bills and the Dolphins and the rest of the way. And he does such a good job. Like, I just love Kornacki so much, by the way. I wish that I could have him in studio every week doing all of the different permutations of everything. But with the Bills, they're playing their best football right now. The fact that they were able to run the ball the way that they did, I couldn't believe my eyes watching it. And we'll get into it a little bit more when we preview the Chargers game coming up. We'll probably talk a little bit more about the Bills side of things anyway. Yeah. But the thing that's going to be a problem for the Bills coming down to the end are the tiebreaker scenarios. Like those losses that they had, the losses against the Broncos and the Bengals, that could get them.
They got to keep winning. All right. Fearless prediction, Colleen.
Okay. So for my fearless prediction, I was looking at the fact that I think that the Rams will finish ahead of the Seahawks, even after the Seahawks coming through with the huge win against the Eagles. They're both 7-7. And when you look at their schedules, the Rams have the Saints, the Giants, and then they finish against the Niners. But the Niners might be resting their guys, even though, I don't know, 2 weeks of rest if they get the bye. Like, that's pretty, that's an interesting scenario. But they're not going to be playing their stars the whole time. And then the Seahawks, they have the Titans, the Steelers, and the Cardinals. Now, they should be able to win all of those games. But if the Rams end up winning the same number of games as the Seahawks, they have the tiebreaker because they swept Seattle already. So they just need to finish with the same number of wins, and then they'll finish ahead of Seattle.
Unless it's like a four-way tie.
True.
Then it just is thrown up. It's like, it could be its conference record, which... Yeah, I gotta have to look. It would depend, I guess, what happened or common opponents. You get deep into it. Rams just got to keep winning. Seattle has a little more margin for error with that schedule. I do worry about counting on the 49ers resting people in week 18. You just can't. You just don't know. And that's that. Look, the Rams played the 49ers pretty well in that first matchup. Like, they looked like very even teams until the end when the bottom fell out. I think the Rams would be up for that game, but they'd be a pretty big underdog.
I am all about, like, I'm very anti 7 playoff teams in each conference, which I mentioned on Monday night. It's very annoying to me. They don't really belong in the playoffs, most of these, like, later slots, but it all matters which team it is, and I'm so pro-Rams over Seattle getting in there. And I think also it starts like Thursday night. I feel like the Niners are not
a team.
They
could both get in there too. I mean,
well, that's
quite possible.
Yeah, we'll see. But like the Niners to me don't feel like a team that's going to sit everyone in week 18 no matter what. I just don't feel like a Shanahan type.
You know
thing.
What? I would say that, but then this is also a team whose season got ruined last year because
that's what I was
injured
right.
going into the playoffs.
I just mean the old Peyton Manning Colts were like, we just sit the entire team, then you go lose a playoff game the week later. I don't know if that's the move right now.
You know, it's going to be, for so many reasons, the Christmas night game against the Ravens, both in terms of top of the conference, but also it could make a huge difference in the NFC at the bottom of the conference. Because if the Niners lose that game, much more likely chance that January 7th matters for them. And then we'll play those guys. Mm-hmm. All right, Greggy, fearless.
It has to be fearless. So, let's go Jags don't make the playoffs. That the Jags continue this free fall and just fall all the way out of it. And this is less about Lawrence right now not practicing. We tape on Wednesday. We'll have more for you Thursday and everything. So it might be better this week. They could be underdogs at Tampa. It's less about the schedule because they do have the Panthers next week at Tennessee. Like, that is a nice final two games, and two out of three, considering they've had the tiebreakers in their division, would probably be enough. It's more just like, I'm trusting what I'm seeing, and I see a team that makes a lot of their own problems and doesn't have a lot of foundation to really stand on right now. Zay Jones is week to week. That's another receiver for them. Their offensive line's got issues. The defense is bad. Like, the running game is bad. They just feel like a team that maybe wants to collapse. And I don't know if it'll be Houston that steps in. They got their own quarterback injury. Or Indianapolis, or both. Who knows? But I just... The Jaguars just feel like a team that maybe they haven't hit their bottom yet and it's going to keep getting worse.
It's weird because it, and we talked about it on Sunday night, but like Christian Kirk, who is not someone I think about that often, like him not being in the lineup.
That's a lie.
I think about him all the time.
All the time.
I mean, often is high up, but like his absence has meant so much to like their swoon. Like, I think, and to lose Zay Jones, like they're just not a team that's exciting right now. They feel
for this to work, they got to lose at Tampa, right? They're going to beat Carolina at home. So that's, you're going to.
Probably.
It's the NFL.
Carolina's been in these games lately.
They were in the game against Tampa.
Because it's the NFL.
I'm just saying, they just literally won a game and they were in the game late against Tampa. Things can happen.
Trevor Lawrence is playing, they are not losing to the Panthers at home, I wouldn't think. I mean, we'll reassess the society and the world we live in if that happens. That would be one of the biggest upsets. But. You're right. You never know. And then at Tennessee, it's not like a killer schedule.
Right.
They have to lose, what, 2 of 3?
They probably have to lose the Tennessee game. Yes.
I like a bonus prediction.
I don't know how it's going to happen. It just feels like this is in there's. It's in their vibes right now.
What's going on over there?
Knocked a little.
A lot of emotion.
It's covered.
It's covered. We're good there.
Okay. So if the Jags don't do what you just predicted and they do make the playoffs, I predict, just as like in a little adjacent one, that Jake Browning and the Bengals end up beating them in the playoffs and knocking them out.
If they make it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a very...
I like that.
If we're going fearless.
Specific one.
I don't know. It just popped in my head.
I like it.
All right. Jeez.
No, I like it.
I enjoyed it.
I like it. If that happens, Eric...
We'll circle back on that.
Yeah, circle back.
Let's cut that one.
That is amazing.
All right. Fearless prediction, Mark.
First of all, I have no laptop, so I don't know what to do with my physical body.
He's doing great.
But I would say that it is a bloody coup d'etat to get... I'm always going for
the chain poking underneath the.
This is what I'm saying.
I didn't see it.
Ryan,
I think you saw that. I didn't see that until now.
I love it.
Yeah. Talked with Gonzo about that the other night. But it is a bloody coup d'etat to go forth and not have your topic ripped away by one of the previous three entries. So
did that happen to you?
No, I feel very lucky that.
Oh, great!
That's why it's a bloody coup d'etat.
Yeah. So the Chiefs, right? I think there's been a lot of consternation about frustration, like that the Chiefs will somehow just slide into the number one seed. Because of everyone else kind of not handling their business. I predict they will not, number one. I'll start there. Like, that's not totally fearless. But mathematically, they play the Raiders. I think something weird might happen on Christmas Day there. They play the Bengals. I'm all in on Jake Browning right now. Then they play the Chargers. A slight disaster, but you never know. But the reason that people will peg them not winning the number one seed slotting is that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift will break up before the end of the regular season.
Mm. Oh.
And it will cause a lot of rumbling, a lot of discussion. And then the Chiefs go into the playoffs and they are dismissed.
You know, it seems from the outside that they really care for each other, Mark.
Right.
So now you're rooting.
I'm not rooting. You want to be right.
You're rooting for them.
It's what I sense. It's not what I want.
Wait, so what was the first part of it?
Well, so it actually goes in reverse order. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Kind of sidetracked.
Or let's say they like maybe it's like not a breakup, but they take a break. The classic, we're taking a break.
It's a soft breakup.
There's reporting around that they're taking a bit of a break, and then the Chiefs like flatline and don't get the number one seed.
She went to Foxborough, Massachusetts 4 days ago.
So I've done a total 180.
Nobody goes to Foxborough on purpose.
Now I love them. Now I'm totally on board. Oh, yeah. I was completely out of
first.
But
I also do.
I'm back. I do too.
So I'm not. I'm actually not.
Wait. So how does that affect the Chiefs?
I think it's just people can't from a Venn diagram.
Right.
People can't separate the fact that it might have nothing to do with the Chiefs. So like Travis Kelce, you get the lower version of Kelce, which we feel like we've been getting.
Right.
And then they break up, and he flatlines in a game, and the Chiefs don't get the number one seed, and then they're out of the playoffs, and it's just like, wait a minute, don't mix love and business.
Perhaps. And you were worried one of us were going to step on that one.
Right.
Okay.
They are very unlikely to get the number one seed just because they're two games back with three to play, despite the schedule.
I know, but haven't you heard people just say I'm just so worried they're going to get it. Like, this is our biggest worry, that the Chiefs, that's our biggest problem.
All right. I have a couple quick ones I'll just throw out. Anybody else can throw them out too. I think the Steelers have already won for the final time this season.
Mm-hmm.
You look at their schedule and the way they're playing and what's going on in that building right now.
Yikes.
None of it feels good. And Mark, you'll like this one. Brock Purdy will be the prohibitive favorite favorite for MVP by close of business week 18.
I like that.
And I think he'll be, and I'm just going to back this up because I did some Niners single season passing record research, and this is a team with, the history is...
rich.
Very
real rich.
He will be the QB1 by the end of the season. This is why he's going to definitely win it. He'll be QB1 of a number one seed, and he'll own that 49er single season records for passing TDs, breaking Steve Young's 36 and 98, yards, breaking Jeff Garcia's 42-78 in 2000, passer rating, that's Young again, 112.8 in 94, yards per attempt, some guy named Joe Montana, 9.1 in 1989, and people will then try to manufacture CMC as his closest competitor for clicks and conversation, but he'll get the offensive player of the year, so that'll be clear cut as well. No drama in that conference.
There was this year back in 2003 that Peyton Manning and Steve McNair tied by voters count for MVP. They won co-MVP, and part of me was wishing, like, why can't you just hoist up
teammate co-MVPs?
Yeah, like Brock Purdy and CMC.
The problem
as
is that
MVP
would take the coordination of like 50 different voters.
Well, right, you can't,
and they're splitting the votes, so they're taking votes away from each other. But also, the fact that when you go back to 2000, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady are the only three quarterbacks that have had a higher passer rating than Brock Purdy through 15 weeks.
I think it's getting to the point where it's staring us in their face, like all his numbers and the team success. So it's going to really take, like, again, a coordinated, like, decision amongst the football writers.
Well, or just Lamar, like, vastly outplays him in a road win on Sunday.
But Lamar has, like, 16 touchdown passes this year.
Like, I can't just say Lamar Jackson is MVP, though.
Well, he's actually, this is why it's curious, because I saw someone tweet out today. It's like, okay, now it's down to a three-man race for MVP, you know, by the odds. Purdy, Lamar, and CMC. CMC's second. And it's just funny because, like, last week it was a two-man race. So if you know, between Dak and Purdy. So if you accept that it could change from a two-man race to a three-man race in 1 week, where now one of the men that was there a week ago is no longer there, like, it can absolutely flip back. Now,
that's why it's a fearless prediction.
Right. Dramatic things would need to happen. What would need to happen is for Purdy to struggle and Lamar to have a great game on Monday night. And then those odds would be dramatically different next week when we're talking about this. But that's all that needs to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the 49ers are going to win that game. But that if that happened, that would
There's definitely a path where he steals the spotlight in the game. I agree with you.
Because
I
like rushing think, yards and touchdowns matter a lot. Like Allen and Lamar's value on that add a lot.
It's such a lesser overall body of work to me than when he actually won MVP, Lamar Jackson.
And he looks better than his numbers are even. I mean, he's eighth in QBR. Lamar, he's 17th in touchdown passes, 15th in yards passed.
How does that add up to MVP?
Well, I'm saying it doesn't. That's what I'm saying. But you've added
a lot
the rushing.
Of times you've looked at the MVPs, and sometimes it's
you got to have to nail those counting stats also in the MVP.
Yeah,
with these voters, it's not just what
McCaffrey has a better chance if he was going to do it. If it like Purdy's saying go for McCaffrey, if McCaffrey had an insane ending and ends up with 2,500 yards and 28 touchdowns, and Purdy like struggles against the Ravens, but they win anyways. Like, there are different routes, but they're all small needles to thread, and Purdy's probably gonna
I think
win.
Lamar's only chance, Greg, is if he absolutely goes nuts in that game. Like, nuts.
Like
the best game of his career.
Touchdowns.
Well, and the week after against Miami. Like, they've got a lot of big
But the Christmas game with all the eyeballs against the big team, like, that is
chance. That is his only chance.
It's kind of a Hail Mary. Anybody else want to throw out any more before we move on?
I have one. It's more of a reckless prediction than a fearless prediction because
I like
I'm not even
the cousin
sure
of the fearless prediction,
I believe
the
in this.
One.
This is insane, but the Bears will finish strong, so strong against the Cardinals, the Falcons, and the Packers that they end up sticking with Justin Fields and trading away the Panthers pick. Of course, Joe Flacco just
they're trading
outplayed
the Panthers
him.
Pick.
Mm. Yeah, they'll trade down to get more assets so they can build
again
around. But the strong finish is why it's regular season because against three.
You got
and then,
that works. And if they could trade down to like two or three and then
it's in the
they'll
zone.
Get Marvin Harris.
Reckless.
Greg.
Well, mine was connected. And these again are sort of like Connie's just on the edge of the regular season. That Tomlin will not be the coach after this long losing streak that you're predicting that they lose straight games to the season.
Yeah.
That it's like a mutual type of thing, and that Kyle Shanahan, and this is something Hayden Winks, who's worked at Roto World, pointed out on Twitter. I like the number that, and I agree with it, that Kyle Shanahan should be coach of the year. like, why is Kyle Shanahan not coach of the year?
Yeah.
Everything that encompasses coaching, like numbers wise, you literally have the right now, potentially the greatest offense in the history of the league, or at least since the 80s, in terms of leading in points, rushing yards, mm-hmm. passing yards, all these things. And like, he put this all together. He's losing his assistants, everything that go, like, for some reason, he is a little lower on that list. But I think if they've dropped bombs the next 3 weeks, and I kind of think they will, that I'm with you. Purdy's likely to win the MVP, and I think they can sweep these awards. And Kyle Shanahan should win the award, and he's never won it. And I do like the ideas that, like, coach of the guys who should be coach of the year at some point, you should win it one time.
Well, so I'm completely with
over
you.
Like Shane Steichen, you know, it was great, but it's like a 6-10.
Yeah, but your
win
problem,
team.
You're like, I'm with you. Like, I mean, like, I think he's third in terms of odds right now,
right?
Like third or fourth, and like it. But the problem is, it's a narrative driven award.
I think the narrative will change the next 3 weeks. Well, this is going to start bubbling up.
That's fine, but like Belichick should have won it 16 times, and it's like, I am with you on Shanahan, but it always seems
does
to go
Shanahan
to, like,
won yet.
No.
No.
See, that's part of, you know, he hasn't gotten one.
That helps. Yeah. But it's good. But like, I think voters think of like a Steichen or a.
Right.
Or like a, even a Stefanski DeMeco? Or like, or DeMeco Ryans. Like, it's like, team was a disaster. Team is now successful.
I'm with you on narrative. I do think the narrative, though, maybe the next 3 weeks, if they keep dropping bombs, is going to turn into like, oh my God, I know they lost three games, but this is literally one of the greatest yes. teams and greatest offenses we've ever seen.
Well, it helps.
And so that, then he wins the narrative.
And it helps
too.
That 31 other teams are. Unimpressive. There aren't like three dominant teams. There's one.
I think similar. I agree with you that I think they finished strong, and I think that is a big conversation as the playoffs begin. Is this one of the best teams ever? Because all the pop the hood analytics stats back up that this team is performing, especially on offense,
especially the offense
on yeah. a level that's rarely been achieved.
And they survived, unlike most teams, like the Trey Lance trade up to get Trey Lance, which is a disaster. Like most teams, like GM and coach float away after all that. That feels
Purdy,
like
Purdy saved their ass.
Exactly. Let's, but it's like something happened.
It, well, and they did a nice job. They picked them last in the draft, but they did pick them. All right, Mark, close this out.
So I did this exercise incorrectly. I have like a playoff one.
Got it.
It's one line, but
what do you got?
Joe Flacco.
Yes.
Beats Greg's little darling, Lamar Jackson, in the playoffs. Kind of flipping.
He's a big man. You even said so when he came near us.
He came near us in London. But like,
you're like, wow, has he been?
I just think that will happen. And it's like, football makes no sense at that point, and it's kind of beautiful all at once. But that somehow Joe Flacco, the Browns quarterback, beats the Ravens in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson, who probably will be, you know, second in MVP voting.
I'm with you. It's in the stars. I told you I had a vision this morning.
You did?
Of
yes,
Flacco beating the Dolphins in the playoffs.
I just think something weird is ahead.
What?
And that's not
yeah,
even my Browns
vision.
You know, attachments. So.
Well, I think.
What do you mean?
Came in
I think we can
game.
Accept that deep in the subconscious, maybe there's a little bit of Browns attachment of the freaking Browns beating the team you hate the most, Ravens, in the playoffs.
I just think
can
it's kind of set
that?
Up to the point
just
where, like,
a little.
We
it's
can,
in there.
But like Joe Flacco's on this really weird, like, personal journey.
That I'm with. I'm
that
with.
Something
and it's
weird
great.
Is going to happen, and like Lamar Jackson I'm feels like the perfect victim. In
Wait,
this.
What if he ends?
Well, and the Browns' defense taking care of the Ravens, I could see
yep,
that.
Which what has
if,
happened.
What if they beat the Dolphins in round one and then Lamar in round two?
Well.
We got to open up some type of business.
Yes, because well, we would have, we were seers at that point.
Then Mahomes in round three, and suddenly we're in Las Vegas, and it's Joe Flacco, who shaved the beard this week. I don't know if that
oh,
was
Oh, Mark.
I hate that, actually.
Why?
I loved it.
I hate that. Why?
I'm in.
He looks good,
well, you
but
don't like beards, because Gonzo told us that.
I mean, like, everyone can do what they want. I have no judgment. It's just, I think that
Joe made the right
maybe
decision.
He looks better.
Well, he also has, you know, he's a, we talked about the sneaky hands.
Sneaky in person.
Got a nice jawline.
Much better yeah. looking than you'd realize in person.
All right. Well, Mark, good luck with that fearless prediction. All right, let's, by the way, I don't even think we mentioned it. Coming up after the break, we got Connor Orr.
I'm so excited.
It's
about
the
this.
Connor Orr holiday special. Mm-hmm. He talks about his favorite Hallmark films of the year.
Mm.
And I cannot wait. He's excited. Before we do that, let's just get caught up on a couple things in the news.
Can you win the game in the first quarter?
No!
Can you win the game in the second quarter?
No!
Can you win the game in the third quarter?
No!
Can you win the mother the fourth quarter?
Uh-oh.
There he is, 72-year-old Pete Carroll in the Seahawks locker room after that dramatic Monday night win at home. And he's correct about that also. Dad, you win that game in the fourth quarter.
Looks like a
he did.
like a 1950s newsboy with his hat backwards, like, you know, throwing the newspaper at the people's door on his bicycle.
There's a, there's more to that clip, and credit Seahawks Twitter on that, because awesome inside view. I love the post-game locker room stuff the team send out. At the very end of it, he's just like, I'm so pumped. I'm just so pumped. Maybe we could get that as a drop, Eric, going forward.
Because he was also like pretty out of breath when he was like continuing to talk, and I was starting to worry a little bit about him. But
and well, we were like, Dan and I believe, were
72.
In the,
wow.
When they beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl, we were in the post-game locker room. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Pete Carroll up on top of the lockers. Somehow he had climbed a ladder, was up on top of the lockers.
We weren't
lockers.
There, but that was...
Well, I was... No, you went to either a winning or losing locker room, and I walked in there and was like,
I thought that was
Pete
like,
Carroll up on the locker room, like shouting.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the Super Bowl. I thought that was earlier, and we wrote about it on like the blog.
No, it was when they took Peyton Manning to the grave, basically.
Imagine that?
Yeah.
Imagine Pete climbing up there.
That's awesome.
He must have had a ladder on the other side. They didn't just climb
not
up.
Not in all Who ways, knows? But in many ways, a man to, for myself, I'll speak for myself, to model... myself after, because he is sucking the marrow out of life. He knows that's life right there in the locker room. He's 72 years old. He knows the end is closer to the beginning and that there's nothing better in life than that moment right there. And he is going to like enjoy it as much as he possibly can. He's the man.
He has it all figured out.
He does. He really does. On the other side of the spectrum is the Chargers, by the way. This fell into the black hole, the ATN black hole, because it occurred on Friday morning, and we haven't really had a chance to talk about it, but the Chargers got rid of their head coach, Brandon Staley, and their GM, Tom Telesco. And I thought we needed to put a stop to this free fall, this black hole. So they have a new head coach. His name is Jeff Smith, and he is the interim coach for the final three games. And this is what he looks like, and this is what he sounds like, and he met with the media for the first time. Well, that's what he looks like, but here is Giff on... the
Looks
Chargers.
Like, a, like
the
an older John Harbaugh?
Yep.
I've been in this game a while, and there's always new things that come up. And I've been around a lot of great coaches through the years, and you just roll with it. You give to these players. You give to this organization.
A little bit of a Cessdog vibe to him, too.
Happens.
Looks like an uncle or somebody in like a Sessler family reunion. You can see that a little bit, right?
Uncle
just like
Giff.
Vaguely like German-European roots. So, yes. So you're
Hey, perfect time for a quick segment I like to call Getting to Know Jeff Smith. All right. Jeff Smith, born October 12, 1968, American football coach, interim head coach, and outside linebackers coach of the Chargers. He previously served as an assistant coach for the Titans and Bills. As I said, 2016, he was hired by Mike McCoy. He's a survivor. A native of Mableton, Georgia, Smith played defensive end at Georgia Southern University. A three-time, Mark, count them, All-American. Greggy, this is for you. In 1999, Smith was hired as the defensive line coach at Tulane University.
Ooh.
The Green Wave. And Colleen Smith and his wife, Jennifer, have two children.
Yeah, he was on that staff.
That's so nice. I love a family man.
He was on that staff. I was working at student television back then. That was
you
right
could have crossed paths with him.
Under, yeah, you maybe and, you, you know, you did you speak to him? Did you
no,
spend time?
No,
with him?
I was very rarely in the locker room. Giff Smith, and it's the hard G.
Yeah.
And Patrick Claibon suggested that should just be his nickname, hard G.
I thought that his name was Griff this whole time. Hmm. In my head, I was calling him Griff.
Did
I
wonder?
We're sure it's not Jeff.
Is it short for
it like, is it
Gifford
is a hard
or
G.
something like
I don't know that I don't know but
my data didn't dig anything up on that end my research.
You know what's funny on that Thursday night blowout was so bad with the Chargers I actually did treat it like they were getting fired.
Right.
Because I had never seen a game where it seemed
it was
more clear. So I was like, because we're not going to be back till Sunday. Let's look back a little on this Staley thing because it looked like it was all over then, and maybe Giff Smith turns it around. I am curious, did Kellen Moore turn down the job? People speculated about that he didn't
want to
take over.
And finally, one last bit of research here. These are two comments from the Chargers subreddit. He looks like that one dude from The Waterboy, and I know what he's talking about. I know he's talking about one of those Sandler cronies. And another person wrote, Jeff Smith looks suspiciously like my father. So some guy had a personal
double life
attachment. Yeah. Now that would
happens. It happens.
What a revelation that would be.
Yeah.
And that is another edition of Getting to Know Jeff Smith. Giff Smith.
More work to do on that front.
Yeah. So anyway, the Chargers, they're going to hire a whole bunch of people. Another coach who's in trouble is Arthur Smith. We were talking about, where's Arthur Blank on everything right now? Arthur Blank spoke to Georgia Public Broadcasting about the situation at head coach in Atlanta. Here's what Blank had to say.
And I think that, you know, through this part of the season, it's been mixed, quite honestly. And that's what I think, that's what the coach would say. You know, and he's, Arthur is a very,
wait a minute,
very honest.
This is amazing. Wait a second.
Very, he looks at himself very critically. So he's not, you know, he comes from a beautiful family that you know, has great values. And he reflects those values in his leadership as best he can. So I, you know, we'll see how the season plays out and go from there.
Mm. What a non-answer.
Also, that was a PBS interview. I don't think that's
Georgia
a first on our
public
show.
Public Broadcasting, they're all in sweaters and, you know, vests.
What year is it?
I don't know.
Where is that from?
Credit to Eric and the whole team behind the glass for digging that one up.
Right.
How many shows are using PBS Broadcasting and the Georgia Public Broadcasting?
Why would he go in the world that we live in media-wise? You go and drop this bomb on Georgia Public Broadcasting?
That Silver Fox would ask him the question. Maybe he would only answer questions from that particular journalist.
Very curious.
Maybe it's probably not, but maybe it's one of those things that was set up ahead of time to promote something different, and it just falls in this week.
I got
to ask. Is that the schedule? I don't know.
And by the way, the translation out of this, he gone.
Yes.
Well, he got
when you quickly divert to he's got a beautiful family.
Beautiful family, great
family
value.
Is beautiful.
Yeah. FedEx valuable. Yeah, yeah, like all those things.
Very
yeah.
critical of himself.
Yeah.
They have Colts at Bears at Saints. Certainly they could improve and win 2 out of 3 of those games, and then I think he would have a job. But
even if Arthur Smith gets let go, it's very important that Home Depot and FedEx remain corporate partners. So this is needs to be handled well.
I'd agree with you.
I'm surprised that there's not a branded segment for the Arthurs here.
That's a good point.
That's something that maybe
we can
work
week.
On. Okay, great.
Next week. Finally in the news, you know, Tommy DeVito, this situation is, listen. I don't know everything, Greg, but I could tell when something's going on. That's Sean Stellato, the agent.
I met him on
you
Saturday
him.
Night.
I texted,
wait.
You know who I texted?
Bada bing!
Yeah, we got a lot. Mike G, I texted him this morning. I said, it's Sean Stellato. You know this guy? Like, have you ever heard of this guy before? You know, on background. I said, on background. He said, I've
known
him.
Well, if it's on background, then you
no,
can't
No, and he
say,
said,
okay. You've
let
you violated
let the insider finish.
Here, but okay.
Let the insider finish the sentence. He said, I've known him for 20 years, and you could put that on record. Now, that's all he said. I can't divulge anything else. But my first instinct from that Monday night game was, this guy better be on the up and up. He better be up first thing in the morning. He better be working in DeVito's best interests. And what happens at that little pizzeria in Morristown? They win a Monday night, and Stellato reneges on a deal, an appearance. He said, no, Tommy was going to come for $10,000. No, now the deal is to $20,000. And DeVito was so horrified that he went to the pizza shop yesterday, free of charge, did the appearance.
That's good damage control.
And critically, and part of my prediction, Stellato has been relieved of his marketing duties, now connected
to
DeVito.
Okay, but wait.
He's still the contract agent?
Correct.
Which I don't see an extension coming anytime soon.
Sure.
For DeVito. But Tommy is already, as I said, someone's going to be in his ear like, hey, there's now a new person, business person in charge of his money affairs.
That new person is Max Lepselter. And Max has been working with him from the jump doing marketing. So I feel like that was also just a way to give Stellato a little bit of a like cover because Max has been doing his marketing from the jump. So maybe Stellato secured that deal. And then Stellato said that there was never a contract signed. So how can they renege on a contract that didn't exist before?
Right.
So I got a lot of questions about this guy.
Oh, and you met him.
Yeah. What was your impression of Stilato?
You got a lot of information too.
I was so excited to meet Stilato. Because Garofolo, having known him for so long, was like, you know, who's going to be at the game tonight? When we all jumped in the car to go over to Broncos and Lions, I was like, who? And he's like, Sean Stilato. And I was like, you got to get me in front of this guy. And so I thought that he was going to be all decked out in his fedora. And
when was this?
This was on Saturday night, the triple header in Detroit.
He had the fedora on the sideline when they showed him at one point.
Why was he maybe there?
When the cameras were on, I'm sure he put the outfit on.
But that was on Monday night or Sunday night.
Losing track.
Why was he there at that?
Because he has other other players, okay. Like a lot of fringe players. But yeah, he was there and he had J's on and like a cool hat and like a Gucci scarf, like totally different.
Did he know who you were? Like out of sight unseen, did he recognize?
I mean, I have no idea. I didn't say, do you know who I am?
That's a good way to introduce yourself.
But he was very nice. We took a picture. He had a lovely diamond encrusted Italian horn, which I found amazing. But yeah, he was very nice.
I think all you really need to know is that if you go to his website and click the About section, there are pictures of Sean running shirtless doing resistance training with frosted tips. Those are the photos he chose to represent himself.
He looks like Ben Stiller in, what role was that when Ben Stiller had the frosted tips in, and he was very tan.
Looks in shape.
Zoolander, maybe.
Was he?
Oh, I mean, he certainly looks in shape.
Well, he wasn't frosted in Zoolander. I know that.
Mm.
Dodgeball?
Maybe it was Dodgeball.
Maybe. All right. That's what's happening in the news. Let's take a break. And when we return, it's the Around the NFL holiday special.
West Dodge
with Connor Orr.
I'm so freaking jacked. I'm so freaking jacked. God damn.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but...
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotika.
I love the kind of the hip-hop Christmas themes. That's a good bed.
Yeah.
It is, as we tape this December 20th, it is smack dab in the middle of the holiday season. Hanukkah in the rear view. Christmas just ahead.
Hanukkah's over.
It's a wrap, bro.
It is. The lights are out.
Sorry, Greg.
We don't celebrate Hanukkah.
He did reveal there's no menorah in the house, which surprised me.
Really?
But there'd be one.
You guys don't, I guess I don't share enough of myself, but no.
Well, we've never been invited in your house, so there's the start.
Do you have a house? You live in a house.
We have a house. I was not raised.
Imagine Greg lived here this whole time. We had no idea.
It would not surprise me, though.
I was not raised religious, and
that surprised
me. Never had any menorah in either house. When I was very young, I actually had one, and then we just sort of ignored my mom, and then eventually.
Always a little bit of jealousy for the kids that celebrated Christmas and Hanukkah, because you're kind of cleaning up.
Yeah,
and your kids could have been in that bucket, but you
but we were those kids, and both me and my brother were like, let's just do Christmas. It's way better.
Yeah, but you like literally from a hardcore religious angle.
Yes.
That's
you
great.
Cannot celebrate both. As a kid, you can, because your parents, you cannot be both.
Right, but none of the people in this
hear
are hardcore
Mark on conservative Christian radio.
Wait, is this a theology podcast?
I was just going to say, I'm more saying like from a PFF spiritual, if you were like a PFF spirituality site, like you can't be both. Like as a kid, you can have all the gifts, but you can't be both.
Right, you can be neither, though. You can be neither. What is PFF?
Just like there's no feeling, it's just hardcore numbers, technical side of things.
Saint rankings.
Right, you can't be both, and it's just like, but it's like, oh, I'm gonna get gifts on like 12 days and like a bunch of other days and a birthday probably in there.
So what if consumerism is really, and that's the evil of it all.
Yeah, I think our guest is coming up would agree with
right. What if your dad was like born in Nazi Germany and then they were like, there is no God, we're anti God.
Now we gotta bring then Nazis that messes, into it.
So Greg brings up
the Nazis.
Greg brings up something that no one can argue. We can't argue. You're right, Greg.
No, but I'm just. Why is that not valid? You know, then
it's completely
that messes
valid.
With
no
you.
One said
on
it's
the next
valid.
Theology podcast.
Hey, no one said it was invalid, Greg. All right, bring back Hip Hop Santa because Nazi Germany just came up. All right, welcome back. Fresh start, holiday special, and here's our guest.
This is the show right here.
What a mess.
Is there a trap door I can escape?
Are you kidding me?
Connor knows what I'm saying.
The first holiday special to drop a Nazi reference, and Connor, you were here for it.
How am I supposed to follow that?
I don't know.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, bud.
This is my favorite time of year, my favorite segment.
Mm-hmm. It's the best.
Great to see you, Connor.
It is.
Connor.
I miss you guys.
We miss you.
Miss you, too, and you're wearing your Christmas sweatshirt, and you're looking... Oh, yeah. Fresh and clean with the shaved head, and you perform a valuable service both in terms of personally, because you are a friend, Connor, and I love that you are so open and passionate about Hallmark Christmas movies. And we're talking about months in advance. I'll get a text from Connor like, here are the ones that I'm kind of heat seeking on that are coming out this year. These are the ones to track. And it's like, okay, we are going to be digging in on two different specials this year, right, Connor? And just in general, before we get into the trailer for the first one, can you tell me again and tell the audience why you and your wife are such fans of this holiday fair? Because it's not an exaggeration. You guys watch these movies all throughout the December and November, right?
Starting November 1, we go full Hallmark. Outside of Monday night, Thursday night, and Sunday night. So, and then even if we have a bad Thursday night game, we'll also do laptop football, and then we'll do big screen Hallmark.
Right.
Big screen Hallmark.
Big screen Hallmark, 100%. and what? I think the reason I do it, I had this reaffirmed this year. So we were at a neighbor's house, and everyone's just talking about like what shows that they were watching. And you know, someone was like, did you see the ending of Ozarks? Like, yeah, it turns out, you know, in order to be successful, you have to murder everybody. And like, you know, the family unit is dead and we're all individual creatures of our own destiny. And then, oh, did you see the ending of Beef? It turns out like our parents screw us up. And the only way to save, you know.
Sounds like a fun neighborhood. Like,
yeah. And you know.
I know exactly what you mean.
Why are we not purging ourselves like mentally and going on like a Hallmark fast? And you know, because okay, yes, what the Ozarks is telling you is true, but also you might be in need of a romantic partner. You might go to a snow-covered small town and
absolutely.
You might meet a hot mailman and fall in love like over a cup of hot chocolate. Like that is as possible as like, oh, the overwhelming sorrow and sadness and realities of and harshness of the world. Like let's zoom in on, you know, hey, look at this. Here's this teacher and here's this guy who like fell into her at the coffee store. And now they just they love each other and they love Christmas. What's the problem with that?
Well, I feel like because that guy's actually leading a double life and nobody knows it and they don't show it on Hallmark.
Mm. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I hate that.
That's part of the problem. That's why.
I am the problem.
Connor.
You are the problem.
Connor, so what you're saying, Connor, and I love this theory, is that because all that bleakness sells, especially in prestige drama. So in a way, you could look at these Hallmark movies and say, oh, they're trash and they're overly sunny. But to you, it's a balancing of the cultural scales that really helps us as a society not become so cold and broken like Connie here.
It is a mental vegetable. It is health for your brain. It is showing yourself the other side of the coin because there's always a silver lining. And Hallmark to me is the permanent silver lining, which is what I love about
it. You should hang out with my dad because my dad asks me on a weekly basis, maybe sometimes more, when I'm going to go and work at the Hallmark channel. And I just keep telling him that's not how it works. And Hallmark isn't really a network like NFL. And he is still really, he's going to die on that.
Although the idea of a pregame, like halftime and postgame coverage of
these films
would be incredible. Connor, let's start with the one that I watched. It is The Santa Summit, released this year. Here is the trailer.
The Santa Summit.
Not the thing with all the Santas.
Absolutely the thing with all the Santas.
I am in.
Three best friends.
I need my wing ladies.
One unforgettable adventure.
Do something?
I just met the most amazing guy.
If you two are meant to share something special, he will find you.
How are we going to find her? You don't even know what she looks like.
Today is the only chance I get to find her.
What is it about the holidays that just puts romance in the air?
The Santa Summit. Only on Hallmark.
All right, so this is starring Hunter King, Amy Groening, Ben Halsworth as the hottie.
Hunter King?
Yes. And Stephanie Sy as the cynic, and who gets her heart warmed as the film progresses. Connor, your takeaways from The Santa Summit.
I don't know if you've ever seen... did you ever see the movie Project X?
Is that a
Hallmark movie?
No. So the Project X was like, it came out when I was in college and it was like the epic party movie where mm-hmm. it was just so over the top. And like, it was like a massive house party that just basically got out of control. This is the Hallmark equivalent of Project X, where I would say like, they're taking all of Christmas, they're turning it up to 100, and then they're just like blasting you confetti gun style in the face with it. And I love everything about it. Like the message is great, right? Like this woman bumps into this hot carpenter and all of a sudden, like, you know, game changer. We're all good. Like life is good.
Right. He's a contractor with his brother, correct? Is that
correct?
Yeah. And
okay.
And it's interesting. I thought the takeaway from this movie, again, because everything is through a different lens, the world is actually a perfect place. So Santa Summit is a takeoff of Santa Con, which is a broadly reviled tradition, at least in New York. I don't know if it's everywhere.
Same thing in Philly.
Okay, and it's where everyone essentially dresses up in Santa and goes bar hopping and gets hammered.
Oh, I've run into these groups before.
And so here's the interesting thing, Connor, about this. They took this widely known to be kind of a debaucherous event, SantaCon, and made it Santa Summit, and stripped away anything that would be kind of lecherous or out of bounds, even to the point where they never use the word beer once. They refer to let's drink cider and hot chocolate. And my God, Connor, the drinks, the symbolic nature of the drinks in this. Let's get into that.
Like, I mean, at every single place they have like a cookie platter and then like a massive cup of like apple juice with like chocolate and cinnamon just poured into it, and like each entree must have had like 58 grams of sugar in it, like enough to fill like a Dunkin' Donuts cup.
So everyone has diabetes.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like it's just it's what you need sometimes, you know. Like, and who wouldn't want to do that?
Like, so
just a little diabetes.
Having only seen the trailer, which was I like the gleam in the
the glimmer, yeah.
That
yeah,
was added very, in post, by the way. That well, was no, not I, in the
I know that was real,
version.
But yeah. It kind of screamed to me, it's just great to be an adult if you're white. It's great to be a white person. Well, that's sort of what the film
that's
said.
Not what the movie's about. In fact, there's an Asian woman who's like a best friend who learns the value of Christmas. There's another man of unknown European ancestry that turns out to be a love interest as well. So it's really, it's all over the map.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And
sounds
shame
so
on
diverse.
You. Once again,
what?
The cynics, Connor, all around.
I mean, wow, I'm surprised Mark took it there, but he just doesn't know the Hallmark Channel doesn't see race, you know?
Not at all.
They're that person, They didn't see
everybody
it.
Was wearing Santa beards, so they fell in love with who was yes. on the inside before you got to see them underneath the underneath the Santa beard.
That's it's beautiful. Like Love is Blind without trying to become famous. I like that.
Yes, yeah. And so the final, first of all, how many Hallmark cards would you give it out of 10?
This was solid. Like I would say a 7.5. It was really good.
All right, and
it was my wife's favorite of the season too.
Wow.
And oh,
that
really?
Matters. That matters.
And in one sentence summary for people that still aren't sold,
I would just say, like all Hallmark movies are kind of you could summarize in the same way that Christmas is awesome and it's going to change your life. And so, and it you know it's going to happen this year. This is the year that Christmas is going to change your life.
Connor,
that's how I would summarize.
Have you ever seen Cross Country Christmas? That is also a Hallmark classic. I tried to watch the movie that you guys are talking about last night. Wasn't available, so I just turned on the Hallmark Channel. I started 13 minutes in. Rachel Lee Cook is in it for anyone
wow.
who is
good for her, yeah.
a fan of She's All That. She
Which
was
is everyone.
Lainey
she
Boggs.
Was all that.
Yes.
What they, yeah.
Played the classic role of the nerd who...
Lainey Boggs.
That, yeah, exactly. Then like the hot guy comes in and shows her how pretty she actually is by taking off her glasses. So yeah, in this one,
damn patriarchy,
it's two friends from high school. They grew up together. They meet on a plane. It's like Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. And then I only watched for 10 minutes before I had to turn it off, but it seemed like a really nice movie.
You know, your husband, when we got together on Friday, he said, there's no way she's going to watch what she said she's going to watch. I said, no, she said she would watch
it. Right.
And she said she doesn't have the ability to stay focused and watch the whole thing. And I must say, your husband knows you well.
I tried multiple times with your login
yes.
to get multiple movies. This
you
is
have
my
a
third
login
try.
To Hallmark, Dan.
This is how important the project is for me. I got a trial of some app that I've never heard of to access the films that Connor's talking about. Let's one more.
I'm this, spinning th- out knowing that.
This one is called Holiday Hotline. This is just like a quick clip from it.
Holiday Hotline. Let's talk turkey.
Love. I have a 20-pound turkey, and it's frozen solid.
I can help. You just have to trust me.
He's on the line.
And really love it if you could come over.
Holiday Hotline.
Wait, what?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay. Can I just say
so
one
get
thing?
Get it, though, because they're hot.
Can I say
have
one?
To explain. We have to explain.
A turkey
that
booty call?
Terrible job. That did a terrible job of explaining why this movie is
Wait,
so
Mark
great.
Wanted to just say something to get us going
one
here.
One thing, it's a cultural thing about ads in general. Whenever they have, there's all these ads where like someone's at a call center and it's always like a 9.5 out of 10, like answering the phone. It's like, I actually worked in a call center one time and it's like, these are typically lost individuals. They're not the hottest people that you'd see on the street.
If, you're a,
the
if you work in a call
like,
center,
that was like a
Mark,
striking individual.
He doesn't mean it. He doesn't, well, this is, the, again, this is a heightened reality, Mark.
All right.
This is the place where the call center
is. That's
has
just my initial.
People.
You're the outliers.
Yeah. We got a bunch of Mr. Potters and Ebenezer Scrooges here, Connor. Let's get into it. Holiday Hotline. First of all, first question. Holiday hotlines, do they exist anymore? Go ahead, Connor.
I mean, I hope so.
They do.
This guy, it really helped this guy. And so the guy's wife is dead. Right.
Oof.
And so
bad break.
He wants to Mark, so maybe you should apologize. But he's learning to make a turkey for his daughter. And so he calls the turkey hotline and falls in love with the woman who's helping him to prepare the turkey, right?
Who as Mark said is a stone cold fox.
9.5.
Simultaneously,
that's a good way to put it.
Also starts falling in love with his new neighbor in the apartment complex.
Ooh.
And
confusing.
He finds out at the very end, Dan,
yeah.
everybody,
they're sisters.
That it's the same person.
Yes.
Amazing.
It's yes. Amazing.
This one, I'm going to give it a 9 based on the log line.
Yeah, I mean,
I like it. I like it.
And what did you learn? What did you learn from this one, Connor, in terms of the holiday season and the idea of joy?
Oh my gosh! I mean, just everything. Like love is right around the corner, constantly. And constantly. You know, maybe
relentlessly.
Maybe you're just down on your luck, and then this beautiful chef arrives from England and wants to, you know, fill the void left in your life by a dead spouse.
And we have a lot of UK listeners. There's a scene in this where they're at a Christmas, they're at like some type of shop, and he says, I'm going to let everybody know who you are. And she's like, I'm British, honey. I don't like to be the center of attention. And I was like, I didn't know that about British people. I guess that was the thing. I learned something there.
They do celebrate Christmas in Europe. That's true.
Oh my God.
Mark. Wait, I have a question because like everyone that says, you know,
Mark, what was that? That was your response there?
Well, no, that's like, that's true. But like they, so when we act like, everyone's like, oh, my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard, which is annoying to me. But like, truly, if you looked at Christmas movies, the full span, like Eyes Wide Shut would be mine. It is, littered with Christmas symbolism and Christmas lights actually throughout scenes. That's got an edge factor of, you know, a 9 out of 10, right? What would be the edge factor of this Hallmark offering that you're... Because it sounds spicy.
I mean, I would honestly give this a 9 out of 10 again because you're in suspense the whole time. And how is he going to find out? Because here's the thing. The woman is British, but she uses an American accent on the turkey hotline. So he's not able to tell
if they're
the same person.
My and next so question...
How is he going to feel when he finds out? Is he going to feel tricked? Is he going to feel happy? You know, and there's this whole drama where she's worried that he's actually in love with the woman on the phone and not her. And so, but they're the same person. So it's
and why was she hiding her British accent?
Code switching.
Fair question.
Yeah, why was she code switching?
She was, I think she was just tired of the grind. Like she came to America for a fresh start and she wanted to experience the greatest country on earth.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Christmas is your drug, Connor. And man, are you OD'ing on it?
He's high. Connor, of course, is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, but also Connor.
Obviously.
Wait, what's your sweatshirt say?
It says, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah, that's a song. I know that one.
All right.
Connor, before you go, you are involved with the Greater Newark Holiday Fund. Let's talk about
that. So I'm very lucky. I'm the chairperson for the campaign this year, and the Greater Newark Holiday Fund supports 10 really amazing social service agencies around the state of New Jersey. We deal with homelessness, mental health, food insecurity, all sorts of things, you know, full spectrum, trying to help people, especially around the holidays. Budgets for charities get really low. And so we collect funds and we distribute it to needy social service agencies who can then serve their constituencies. So there's a link to donate on my Twitter, or just check out the Greater Newark Holiday Fund, see for yourself what's going on. I've been posting about it all holiday season. If you have a giving plan at Christmas where you like to, during the holidays, if you like to give to a charity around the holidays, check it out. And I can also, like, maybe I'll retweet the show with a link to donate if that so moves you.
Awesome cause. Be cynical about that, Colleen.
No, I'm back
go
in.
Go ahead.
Now
what do you got? What do you got? What Stanley Kubrick film supersedes that?
He is a wonderful person. And I, like, he changed the way I feel about the holiday season.
My heart is warm.
You're the best, Connor.
That's what I'm here for.
Love you, Connor.
Hey, do you have a fearless prediction for the last 3 weeks of the regular season?
Oh, wow. Put them on the
spot. Fearless prediction.
Or Hallmark.
I think that the Rams will go 2 rounds in the playoffs. That's my fearless prediction.
That is pretty spicy. Fearless.
I like that.
You like that?
That's pretty great.
I like it a lot. Connor, you're the best, buddy. Merry Christmas.
Go take another hit of Christmas, buddy.
All day.
Great appearance. Maybe the best or holiday special appearance yet. And he's right. I really liked what he was getting at there.
Dialed in.
Because I'm watching it with the wife on Saturday, and I'm saying this is so ridiculous. It's so sweet. It's just over the top. But he's right. that counteracts the Jason Bateman programming that everyone else is hardlining into their system all the time.
I'm not going to lie. So I wasn't happy watching it. I'm like, this is so dumb. This is stupid, whatever. And then I go into the kitchen to grab something, and I'm still watching from the kitchen just to see what happens next.
All right. Before we go, we have one more bit of business to hit. Week 16. Let's do a preview speed round. How much time do we put on the clock?
I think it was 3 minutes last week.
All right, 3 minutes, starting with Thursday Night Football, which Colleen, this is a good one, too. You are the anchor, of course, of the coverage for NFL Network. So why don't you tee us up on this one?
Okay, a lot of playoff implications in this one. Saints-Rams, they both have 7-7 records. Rams holding on for the final wild card spot. They are in the seventh seed right now. The Saints, they're trying to win the division. They're tied with the Bucks. They're obviously still in the wild card mix as well. I'm wondering if Chris Olave is going to be available this
week.
Sounds
like it, yes.
Derek Carr, he had one of his best games last week against Tommy DeVito and the Giants. He had 3 touchdowns without Chris Olave and Ryan Ramczyk. And their pass defense was really, really good.
Eric's stressing out, waiting to know when to start the
call. Oh, we're doing
just
this again.
Just do a slight
again.
Pause. There we go. That was for you, Eric, because I could tell Eric back there was like sweat pouring down when to start it.
She doesn't take a breath. It's insane.
She's downloading
it's
info.
Wild.
She has a lot of research here. I'm looking right at it. All right, keep going, Connie.
She's actually British, by the way.
Did anyone prepare for the show I did right here? You want to talk about Sano Passanioa? 3 sacks for him against the Giants and Tommy DeVito. DeMario Davis got it done. Stilato in a big spot. I got a lot of questions about Stilato. Obviously, the Rams, too. They have the pieces to outscore the Saints. Puka Nacua has been unbelievable this year, but now everyone is healthy. Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams, and Puka, with all of them, they're kind of like a little bit of a superpower. So I think they definitely have the pieces to outscore the Saints here.
This is Greg. This is a good segue from Connor just now saying they're going to win, what, at least one playoff game.
He said two rounds.
He said two.
Yeah,
you had something about the Rams, didn't you, in our predictions?
Yes.
Making it, they have to win this game, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I don't want us to fall into the trap that we've been falling into all season, these 500 teams that get a little hot. But at the same time, Greggy, the Rams have been kind of consistent in a lot of ways, different than these other 500 teams.
Yeah, the defense isn't going to be great, and so the games are going to be close. They're playing hard, but the offense has been a top 10 offense all year, and now they're healthy and they're leaning towards top 5. But to do all this, they have to win this game. The playoff leverage, which is what the analytics guys like to say, is outrageous in this game. The Rams are like 2/3 likely to make the playoffs if they win, 7% if they lose. Like the route to making the playoffs is pretty low if they don't win this game. To me, it's a beautiful rematch, maybe a revenge game of the NFC Championship game. And you think, oh, everyone's different. Sean McVay's not different. He's changed his offense 3 times since then. Dennis Allen's not different. He hasn't really changed his defense at all. And a lot of those same players are there. And I love the way Sean McVay has updated it. And I think they're going to be able to run the ball. And they better, because I'm going with the family. This is my holiday.
Oh, yeah, that's
Christmas.
Right.
This is your Christmas.
This is my Christmas.
You'll be at the game with the family, right?
Roger Goodell is Father Christmas to me.
That is exciting.
I thought you meant
here.
You're picking the family, like the Ramley. You're going with the family.
Well, I am picking them, too.
That's great.
Sure, but all right. They better win just to make us happy.
All right, the Saturday game, Bengals, Steelers.
I got out of that preview scot-free.
I got you on this one. Here we go. Bengals at Steelers. This is a game I said in my fearless prediction, I think the Steelers are done winning. I think they're a 7-10 outfit, and there's a lot of drama. That said, if, Mark, there was a last-ditch effort here from Pittsburgh to kind of pull it together, it would probably be in this spot at home against a division rival, knowing your season in a lot of ways is on the line. If Mike Tomlin doesn't have the team ready to play in this game, they are way worse off than we even realize. So it's the Jake Browning magic work without Jamar Chase in Pittsburgh.
I feel like a couple weeks ago we'd say the Bengals have this like quarterback problem, but they've got a quarterback solution, and it's changed the way we think about Zach Taylor and the entire team, and they're kind of humming. I know you know Jamar Chase, that's an issue health-wise, but the Steelers are the team with the quarterback problem. And then like this stuff coming out with like for years, it was like, oh, no matter what, the Steelers like draft and develop wide receivers better than everyone. Then you've got George Pickens, the replay of him sort of just standing around like I would in the middle of like a break room at work when someone's trying to forge in for a touchdown. He's doing literally nothing. It's like the Steelers.
Not the first time we've seen that with
wide
receivers.
Well, no, and I think this is a weird Steelers team to me, where I think the vibe is just very negative, and I kind of want them out of my life. And the Bengals to me are like the AFC's Rams, where it's like, I thought all was lost, and here they come, and they feel like a team to me, because one of my other fearless predictions when I thought it was playoff bound was that I think they could win two playoff games. They, to me, feel with Jake Browning not that different than the Joe Burrow Bengals, and I find them watchable. I'm a historically a Browns fan, and I feel connected nice to catch. The Bengals, so I don't know what's happening.
I loved Jake Browning at the end of that game,
historical
by the way.
No, I'm saying, like, it's like you would be aligned to think, like, yes, I want bad things to happen to the Bengals, and I'd feel differently about this team. I kind of find them fascinating and watchable.
I think Jake Browning is low-key funny. Like, when he was interviewed afterwards on the field, they asked him just, like, I think it was just a generic, like, how do you feel right now, whatever, and he was like, I honestly don't even remember what happened. I'm so tired. And I was like, that's the most relatable quote I've ever heard from a quarterback.
Quarterbacks get tired. I'm sure they do. It is a high physical and mental toll.
He also had, you know, some spicy, you know, video takes yelling at the camera, the team camera, like,
oh yeah,
bet you're glad you cut me now, Vikings. And I do worry in terms of them, like, making the playoffs or winning playoff games, their defense hasn't really looked any better lately in particular, and then they lose DJ Reader. This is a matchup, though, that they lost with Jake Browning just 3 weeks ago, 16-10, sort of since this transformation happened. And when I watch the Steelers' defense, they're so disorganized. They're getting out-coached every week. I mean, Shane Steichen made them look terrible. Their back seven on defense is so bad, and their offensive line hasn't looked great lately either. So I do think the Bengals can get after him, and they're just slow, the Steelers. Chase Brown, I feel like that's a nice little deep fantasy sleeper for this week. He's so fast versus this slow ass defense. I think they get it done.
Do we have that Jake Browning sound? I want to hear that.
That one felt good.
Browning looking, scrambling to the right. Browning going downfield. It is caught. The Bengals convert on third down and nine. The snap, the placement, the right-footed kick. It is good.
I think right after we made the field goal to win the game, I screamed at a camera and said they never should have cut me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say that.
I love him.
Week and then go lose. So you kind of just wait until you win and then don't look like an idiot. I feel like I need a beer.
Oh, my God.
I love that guy. That is Bengals Twitter from the jungle.
The second part of my fearless prediction was that Jake Browning would morph into free agency's number one signing. He will become someone else's starter. Will that be a mistake? We'll see. But that, like, he will become the offseason story, and someone will make them anoint him.
Number one, like, highest.
Biggest story, free agent signing.
Wow.
Is he a free agent?
Yes. I looked it up. I
didn't know that.
Before the show. Well, because I can't say that if he's under contract for 2 years, but he's not under contract.
He is not. He is an exclusive rights free agent, so he'll be locked up for another couple of years with the Bengals.
Well, we'll see what happens.
All right, finally, Greg, do you want to?
No, that's okay.
Just wanted to double check.
No, we needed
it's
that.
It's still very possible.
We needed that. That it could happen.
I'm just saying
they
could
cut him.
Right.
And then
probably
aren't going to cut him.
Yeah.
That seemed very foolhardy to cut him.
He may be better than Joe Burrow. We don't know.
Beat him out. That would be a big story too.
Well,
Greg, the second Saturday game.
I mean, Chargers, Bills. Let's start the clock right away. This is the one. We should have spent more time on Rams Saints. That's like an early playoff game. This is just Saturday night.
Sounds like somebody wants to be on the Thursday night show with Mark and I.
Right.
Come on, buddy.
No. I'll be coming home.
One of us.
I'll be stuck in traffic.
Sorry, honey. I got to go. We're taping the Thursday night show.
I hope Bills fans show up
the bus
and make this an atmosphere. 11.5 points is how much they're favored by. That doesn't feel like enough, does it? This run-heavy team, and I know you get the, like, dead coach bounce and everything, but James Cook is now one of the best running backs in the league. I apologize to Sean McDermott for getting on him for changing offensive coordinators, because what they've done with Joe Brady has been different. These multiple tight ends, they're kind of using fullbacks, the two running backs at the same time, just varying it up, and they're really good at it and matching that up versus this Chargers defense, who I think maybe will want to account well for themselves after a totally embarrassing Thursday night, and they have extra rest, so maybe they play a little bit better, but who are we kidding? Easton Stick versus Sean McDermott, who's been cooking up some great schemes, and Ed Oliver has been playing really great up front. 11.5 does not feel like enough. This feels like a Saturday night Bills party.
Are you getting the umbrella out?
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay. James, I was going to say it's hyperbole, Greg, about James Cook, but look, I mean, week to week, he has been as good as any running back in the league lately, all around.
I mean, in terms of like yards over, expected, and like the total performance, just by the numbers, I think he had the number one, I think it was on Football Outsiders or Aaron Schott, where they're at, was the number one running back performance of the year against.
Well, the drops too. I mean, you got to.
Sure, though. I'll live with a drop if he's running like these crazy angle routes. They're having him do like wide receiver routes.
That's the touchdown catch he had, like kind of backhanded, was a sneaky, hard catch.
Yeah. And he did drop another touchdown, to be fair. That's to be fair.
Their offense lacked benches ass in past years.
That's what I say.
It's a huge add to them.
What was that?
That offense didn't have like the running back. And I think Latavius Murray's actually been pretty good too. Like kind of under the radar, just like he's helped in. And like they've got balance on offense where they didn't have a running game before.
Do you know that in England, because you had
they celebrate Christmas.
Pointed it out that they celebrate Christmas.
I was suggesting that's probably the fact.
Did you? No, it certainly is.
Yeah.
We're in a lot of ways descendants of, you know, England. You know,
we didn't invent that holiday, true.
So I will say that they say Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
That's on them.
Just throwing it out there.
It feels lesser than Mary.
I feel like we got the edge on that one. Mary beats happy.
I'm with you.
Come at us.
Mary.
What's the reasoning?
Mary.
By the way, the Chargers.
Tara got married.
The Chargers have been put, their owner spoke this week and said, like, everyone's been calling us cheap. We're not going to be cheap. There's no boundaries to what we're willing to accomplish. It almost felt like we would go after Bill Belichick. I don't know what the point of that was exactly.
Because he was hearing
a lot of chat.
In every conversation, it's like, obviously not the Chargers. Belichick would never go there. They couldn't afford him. They won't deal. It's like, they're probably trying to say, stop the narrative. Like, right. We could bring him here.
Also,
it would be a good, interesting marriage.
You know, there's like 31 teams that basically own their stadium, and there's one that, like, rents it. So
that pays $1 for it.
I don't, it just seemed like in such a weird place as an organization. I don't. All right. It's just kind of sad. I don't know. Good app. Hey, Connie, you've said it all.
Thank you.
Did you? And we talked about you lost your dog, and you said Christmas was canceled.
Yeah.
Is Christmas come back? You got a tree up at the house?
We don't have any decorations up. I know.
I was hoping.
I'm trying to get
this.
This
is actually the first part of a Hallmark Christmas movie.
You know what? You're right. Because I usually have the house
hot
decorated.
Amazon truck guy comes.
Yeah. That,
and what happens?
Well, that complicates it. But yes, the dog happens. The previous Christmas, there was the dog bite. Maybe.
I know.
Maybe a dog is involved. A dog shows up and warms your heart.
If you just ruined John's present for Colleen, that's going to be bad, Greg.
Maybe I do need to get John a puppy.
There we go. Or
we'll
we're
not doing gifts either this year, so there's no gifts, there's no decorations. I've sort of opted out of Christmas. It's really dark right
Tank?
Now. It's fine.
Not
Tank.
Now, Bridget.
Tank's
not now.
Having a great Christmas, probably.
Yeah. All dogs do go to heaven, they say.
I'm trying to get there. We'll see. I listened to Christmas music for like 5 minutes yesterday.
I picked up my beloved captain 1 year ago this weekend.
Aww.
So you can. And we have great resources that we learned during that process. If you do want to do that.
It's a rescue dog?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll see.
Now, there would be something to that. The Christmas.
You assisting.
Well, her. That would be a nice kind of part of the memory.
Right.
Like, how did it happen? Who made it happen? I'm like, not important, but we'll get to that.
Right.
Like,
on the wiki page,
there would be a large section about the Dan Hansis.
There's a headshot of me to the right, taken earlier today.
No other photo in the wiki page.
Yeah. maybe the dog. Maybe.
Dan saved Christmas. Yeah.
Like background.
The name of the Hallmark movie.
So it's like name of the dog, blah, blah, blah. Background.
Wait, didn't I just suggest this whole thing like a minute ago?
No.
Greg, at this point, you did not. At this point, you did. But at this point, you did not.
Far right, index right. Just like a quick bio. Background on our relationship and the connection, the history.
Right. This has nothing to do with animals at this point.
I challenge any podcast out there. Oh, by the way, we've been nominated for something called the Sports Podcast Awards over in the UK. You can go on their website and vote for us. We found this out.
Really?
But I challenge, this is separate to this.
You did?
Wait, what?
I challenge any other podcast out there to come as strong with their holiday spectacular as...
Yeah, let's get some holiday music to close things out.
Wait a minute, were you in person and you hosted?
This was during the pandemic, so it was on Zoom, but I hosted them 1 year.
I would love to know how much they paid Colleen for that. Wait, how much do you think they paid her?
Is it in the UK? It seems like it's from the UK. Is that
a lot
true?
UK pods, a lot of UK.
If we don't win,
involved.
That would be.
Do you think they? Slight. Do you think they paid Colleen $5,000?
$25,000.
No way.
$10,000. Higher?
I don't even remember.
I'm gonna
go back and look.
I'm gonna go.
Money is of no object.
No, I just did it because I wanted to do it.
$2,500. All right. Sportspodcastgroup.com. Vote for Around the NFL over all these other jokers.
Right.
That's it.
Everyone says it's like an honor to be nominated. No, we're gonna go negative. We're running a negative campaign against
smear campaign.
The other teams.
God bless football. Cannot win.
You know who's on that? That guy, Stugatz guy, is on it. We have a little score to settle with that guy.
Well, let's let them understand who we
are. Oh, that's who won the year I was hosting it.
Well, isn't that nice?
Well, we remember what Stugatz had to say.
Oh, yeah.
This is a little chance for revenge.
Sessie made it. Sessler. I mean, how about that guy? Who is that guy?
He's a top 10 football insider.
That's a chance for revenge.
It is. I don't feel like revenge-oriented against Stugatz necessarily. I think it was like kind of a self-reminder that you know, other people in the industry have no idea exists.
If you would like peace brokered between the two sides, I will gladly step up.
Where's that holiday music?
Where's Connor? I need some Christmas.
But there would be something full circle.
I think it would be. It would be.
Just like the dog entering the Gonzo household, you taking out Stugatz at the award show.
There's a Christmas element to that.
You know, I'm looking at these
with
nominees.
With like a trank dart?
Our friend Hannah Wilkes for her huddle also nominated. And ooh. I was a guest on that, so maybe I... You know,
you have two chances to win.
Two. If you're not going to vote for
I mean,
speaking of wiki pages,
it's not off.
Greg has already demanded that he has a section of their wiki page.
It's not off brand that Greg pulls votes away from our actual show because he appeared on a rival show for the prize.
Well, Merry Christmas to everybody. We'll be back on Thursday with our Week 16 preview in bulk. Connie, thank you, as
thank
always.
Thank you. Great to see you guys.
Everybody, happy holidays. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.